Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
Let's jump into the film with Tim Jenkins. We always love having him on. He is our quarterback guru. He studies the film so you don't have to. He is at T Jenkins Elite on X, the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite, and he's also on YouTube. He joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, and on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. We were actually just talking about Caleb Williams and his performance in the pocket. Ben Johnson was asked about it yesterday after he watched the tape. What did you see?
I thought this was kind of the game we've all been waiting for, right? I think I kept coming on and we were joking about, hey, our quarterback's not, you know, it's not, we're not, we don't have exceptional stats. You know, we were kind of saying we're finding other ways to win football games. And then last week that kind of bit us in the tail. And then now we had an absolutely exceptional football game. And I know people are going to say, hey, it was just against the Bengals, right? Don't get too excited. But to me, I think there were a lot of concepts on tape. It was funny because I always gear my stuff right to quarterbacks. Hey, why are they making this decision on this play? What are we thinking? This one was kind of fun, though, because there were a couple that was just like, hey, I got to highlight just this scheme, right? Like we had the, you know, the Philly special, or you have the double pass with Komet. Like there were just some fun wrinkles they threw in. So to me, I think we're just starting to see the evolution of this offense. It feels like every time you watch Detroit when Ben was there, you'd have two or three just more or less fun football plays, right, to break down every week. Now we're starting to see that pop up. So to me, I just think it was overall good. From the pocket specifically, I thought he did a good job. He still does what Caleb does, which is he gets out of the pocket when he needs to, right, and he can extend the play. I think you are seeing him become more accurate on the run, which, you know, you had brought up that he even voiced, hey, I don't feel comfortable. It feels like he's getting more accurate there. So to me, I just think there were a lot of positives to take away. And then, of course, you know, we'll have a lot of people second guessing it because it was just against the Bengals. But to me, I don't think it matters. Anytime you line up in the NFL and you execute the way the Bears offense did, you've got to feel good about it.
So, Tim, we're looking at the Bears offense. They're sixth in total offense. Fourth in total offense. Let me not shortchange them. They're also, and this is kind of one of the things that might surprise people, they're sixth in points per game. You know, they scored 28.9 points per game, which is just 4 points behind the Colts, who lead the league. Are you seeing things here, because you mentioned the Bengals, the quality of opponent, are you seeing things here that you feel like can be sustainable against better competition on the back half of the season?
100%. 100%. And the reason I say that is because we're not seeing it. It's one thing when you just line up, like it's one thing when a team is bad personnel wise and you just line up and you beat matchups, right? Like that's kind of one thing. Oh, hey, is that sustainable? I don't know always, right? Unless you have absolute dudes across the board. I don't think we're seeing that. What I think we're seeing is schematic wins. We're seeing, you know, those scheme dimes where, oh, wow, look, we're stretching the defense one way and then
oh, we're going to manipulate it, make it look exactly the same, but we have another play off of it. Like the Loveland dig route, where it's like we put a tight end outside and have him run what's old school dagger, have him on the 20-yard in. Like, to me, that's awesome, right? Because you either force a safety to get out there or a linebacker to get out there and try to cover that much ground. You know, that's impossible. And it doesn't matter whether you're playing the Bengals or, you know, you're playing a better team. That's still a tough matchup, right? So for me, it's like I think we're just scratching the surface of what this team can do. But I think it's definitely more sustainable than if we were just a matchups only offense. We're not, right? We're heavy on scheme. We're heavy on our run game. Like, to me, we're gashing them in the run game too. Like, our run looks are premier looks. Now, Caleb's also canning, right? Changing the play from one to another into the run game, which I think is even more exciting. It's the kind of stuff that we don't really talk about that much. But yeah, I think schematically is where we're generating these big plays and these big numbers, which that to me always is, I guess I'm more willing to bet on than if it was just like, hey, we're winning a bunch of 50-50 go balls.
We're talking to Tim Jenkins, our film expert, on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we have some breaking news. Breaking news on The Score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Quinnen Williams, indeed, on the move. The Jets Pro Bowl defensive lineman, three-time Pro Bowler, is headed to the Cowboys. That, according to Tom Pelissero. New York gets a 2026, I just lost the tweet, there it is, first-round pick, and more for Williams. He is 27 years old. So the Cowboys get the pass rusher they wanted after trading the pass rusher everyone wanted.
How about them Cowboys?
I'll just leave it at that.
They need defenders. I love what you're saying, though, Tim, about the schematic part. I think that's fascinating to me, and it's really good because week by week by week, it's easy to see why Ben Johnson is really good at doing what he does. He has been imperfect this year, but that's really good to hear and fascinating stuff. I want to know a little bit more about from your eyes, on the 58-yard play to Colston Loveland at the end, the throw that Caleb made and the maneuver that Loveland, or the pattern that Loveland ran with three defenders around him.
Yeah, sorry. I promise I'm going to answer that, but the Cowboys breaking news, just like the Cowboys. So in my house, my wife's from Texas, right? Like, I married into it. You know, her father-in-law, my father-in-law wasn't even like, hey, do you have a job? He was like, hey, you're going to root for the Cowboys. And at that time, I just got cut from everyone in the NFL. So I'm like, sure, I don't really care anymore. Watching that game last night is just like, they're, you know, whatever we think we're going through as Bears fans, like, man, it's tough to be a Cowboys fan too. I just think there's some, yeah, they're in some dark days, but good for Jerry. You trade someone away and get someone right back. So
for Jerry instead of good for the team, you've already indicated what the goal is.
He's just a madman, you know? I hope when I'm at the end of my reign with Jenkins Elite, you guys can laugh at me and be like, look at that madman. Like, Tim's, and just like laugh it off, you know? I hope you guys can. But
I don't think you would trade Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. And if we're being honest, like, it's none of my four boys. Like, Sloan is 100% going to succession me long before, like, it's even remotely done. Like, my beautiful daughter will tell you one thing, and then she'll stab you right in the back. So she's going to get me voted off my own board at some point. Yeah. But the play, yeah. Yes. I mean, honestly, the best part about that final play for me was Caleb was really actually kind of redeeming that opening play to Komet. And listen, it's still a catchable football he threw to Komet, but, you know, we had more or less the same slight lean out, like a little bender route inside. He dirts it, not dirts it, but he's too low. Komet goes down, tries to make a play. We miss it on the opening play to come all the way back and hit virtually the same play. To me, was the most exciting part. Moves the safety, puts it right on his numbers, and then for Loveland to take that hit. And I know, like, on the broadcast, they made a big deal about it. Being like, oh, you got to wrap up. Like, dude, that sort of force that the safety delivered, it's not normal for guys to stay standing. Like, that's incredible by Loveland. So to me, that final play was awesome. I'm going to be honest with you guys. When the Bears were kind of going back and forth, like, I hammered them and the Broncos. And then when the Bengals came back, I was sitting there like, I hate this dang team. Like,
I hate it. Why did I ever start covering the Bears? And then when he threw that touchdown, it was like pure joy in our living room. So, yeah, I'm not like proud, but yeah, Mac is way too invested in Moneyline Bears.
How much of that play, and you know a hell of a lot more about the quarterback position than I do, but how much of the 58-yard play adds to your evaluation of him having a really, I mean, are you saying on the overall he had a really good game, Caleb?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I'm going to be honest with you, like none of it adds it to me. Like I couldn't even tell you how many yards he threw for. I think that's sometimes the disconnect with my film reviews every week is sometimes people get really mad when I'm like, oh, I thought he played a good game. They're like, oh, he had 120 yards. I'm like, dude, I have no idea what his stats were. Like that's not, you know, I try to watch the games as much as I can if I'm being honest with you guys live, but it's just like I don't always get it. I get the very end of them usually. So to me, I'm like, yeah, it didn't really factor in. I just thought we consistently made good decisions, which is more or less how I'm evaluating it, right? Like I was like, you know, today, this week's YouTube was, hey, it's a breakout game for him. And people are like, breakout game? What are you talking about? It's the Bengals. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. He could be playing my third grade team. But if the process is correct, we're getting better and we're going to have a chance to go and make a run. And then I said at the end of the video, and you know, we'll see if I'm right, this is the kind of win that makes me think long term. This is a playoff team this year. So to me, I'm fired up.
And I am listening.
I think we got listening. A shot.
Yeah.
What is it that you saw that made you think you had a shot? Because I love the process talk, throw out the stats. Because I think that's how Ben Johnson's looking at it, is how you're looking at it with individually the plays. Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing on these plays?
So let me point to one play on why I think this is a playoff team. And it's one that has nothing to do with Caleb Williams. And it's the DJ Moore fake jet sweep throwback screen. Like that is, I think we have enough one-off plays to where even if our quarterback wasn't having a great day, he was having a year two quarterback day where he's struggling a little bit. We have enough playmakers and we're creative enough on offense to generate chunk plays when it matters. And that's why I feel great about this team comparatively to years past when it was like, I have no idea what we're trying to get done on this play that, you know, Waldron just called it. Like there's, I don't have that anymore, right? Like everything I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I get what they were trying to do. It didn't work, but I get what they were trying to do. So for me, it's just, I think we also finally have the skill guys for it. Like everyone's gonna be like, how do you not know? But like, do we have any idea what the commit?
Uh-oh.
Do we have any idea what Komet's injury was? Because like with Loveland,
concussion
and Komet, we
protocol.
Also have personnel that matches concussion.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, he'll be back. So to me, it's like that's we have the personnel to match too. So it's one of those things where I just feel so good about where this offense is that if we can remotely be competitive on defense like we've been, I do think this is a playoff team, and I think they're gonna be a tough out. Honestly, wow. I think they're going to be a hard team to prepare for.
You're blowing my mind, man. I mean, the Ben Johnson difference is real, is what you are saying right now.
Yeah, and it's not only that it's real, but it's just that I think he has the pieces. And you know, Rome's dad will get mad about his usage or whatever. And then, heck's going on Twitter. But we have the pieces, too, that perfectly fit an offense, right? Like DJ's that guy where a defensive coordinator, you got to spend a whole Wednesday talking about, hey, pay attention to where number two lines up. Because if you don't talk about it on Wednesday, guess what? We'll line him up in the backfield. We're going to run a bullet route. And then you've got a linebacker with super thick ankles trying to run with him, right? Ain't going to happen. So you have to talk through all this stuff. Rome's a tough cover one-on-one. Hey, guess what? They're going to get into 12 personnel. We got to have an idea where both these guys are vertically. I just think there's so much to talk through. And then, sure, are we maybe still a few pieces away on defense where, you know, some other team might come in and, you know, beat us in a shootout or, you know, that might still happen. But I do think this team it's an extremely tough out, and I think it's someone that it's hard to prepare for. I just think Ben is too good. I think we're going to steal too many games late. And I think they're going to get in. I really do.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We are talking to our film guy, Tim Jenkins. He runs T. Jenkins Elite on X. He's also on YouTube. I want to go back to something you said, though, about repeating concepts. That was from last week. Ben Johnson, after the game on Sunday, said they were hunting a particular coverage. We heard Caleb Williams talk about that as well when it came to the Colston-Loveland play. So when you mentioned the Cole Kmet play earlier, is that the sense you got when they were trying to have that happen? Like they were trying to goad the Bengals into something. What did you see there that lends itself to that discussion?
Yeah, I think they were just, they saw so much single high. When they got in that little flank set with two of our tight ends to one side, they auto-checked single high. They would motion one of them out, and they would just run four verts. Now, listen, what's funny about that wasn't actually the coverage that we got against for the final play. We ended up kicking it in a two high. But, like, the Bengals were running single high, whether it be cover three or man. They were running a ton of single high, and the Bears were hunting with the football. Like, that's the other thing you got to love is Ben Johnson's not sitting there like, man, we got single high. Let's throw a hitch, right? Let's take 6 yards. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, we're getting single high. Let's try to drive a ball vertically down the seam. You know, like that's something that I think is exciting. So, yeah, they definitely were trying to get the Bengals to check into that single high, whether it be three or one. And then they were just attacking them with the football.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. That was something that I was schematically wondering about when they said that, especially when we saw, there were two safeties back. So that's what I was curious about.
I found your comments about the playoffs and the tough out and stealing some wins very interesting because I'm looking at Caleb as an individual, but there are so many weapons. I'm curious if you think they can win the majority of the games that they have remaining, knowing, you know, it's the Packers twice. It's the Eagles on Black Friday. It's a game against the Niners. I mean, there's some really good teams on the schedule. You still got to see Detroit.
That's what dented me a little bit my path.
Yeah. And I'm kind of weighing what Mark said earlier in the show versus what you're saying about the faith in Ben Johnson. You really think their defense can slow teams down enough to win in these kind of shootouts?
No, I don't think their defense can slow anybody down, but I think that's what I'm most excited about with the offense. Just like being honest, I think I really genuinely think, I mean, think about what we went through last Thanksgiving. You know, I'm sitting there watching my father-in-law hammer the Bears when they're like plus 4,000, and we almost came back. And if it wasn't for our buddy Eberflus, you know, backing us up somehow to field goal range, we have a shot to have a happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Instead, everyone's yelling at their grandma, right? So to me, I just feel way better. Do I think we have the dudes to, like, shut down Philly? Absolutely not. I do not. Do I think that Ben Johnson gives us a puncher's chance to steal some of those games? I do. And then if all of a sudden 10-7, you know, slips you in, they're in the wild card, and I think we've got to feel good about it. To me, I just think... Yeah, I do not think we have the dudes to go in there and say, hey, we're going to win a 14-6 ball game against the Eagles. But I do think we have the weapons to go in there and get someone on their heels and then put our defense in a situation where, hey, it's pass only. Can we fight? Can we defend something when we know one thing is coming versus, hey, can we defend something when they've got their whole playbook? And that's where I think this offense can drive us basically to the point where our defense can be better. And in the games that we can't stop them and they jump out on us, those are the ones we end up losing. But I think I think realistically we have a shot at the wild card. Like, I really do.
That is Tim Jenkins. You can check out more of his work at All Things QB on YouTube. He always does a full Caleb Williams breakdown. We look forward to seeing that as well. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
And Tim being hopeful, but yet also saying last Thanksgiving you haven't watched enough Bears, that's yet more confirmation he's one of us.
So I think you're starting to doubt it now, too, the idea that the defense can stop any of these teams.
No, Tim just told you they can't.
They got the Bengals to punt twice.
I know. He said they're going to the playoffs, but then he said they can't stop anybody.
But I think it's going to be fun. I think by the end of the year, Ben Johnson will have a top three offense.
What? Top three?
It almost sounded like Tim was saying that. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Right,
but
now they're number six, right?
He's saying that, like, Tim really believes in this offense. Like, so, trust me, it's a fluid situation. I hear him.
They're number two in run offense. They're number four in total offense, just yards, and they're number six in scoring.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought they were six overall in scoring.
But even though they're sixth in scoring, they're only 4 points back of the leaders. It'd be different if, like, they were six and they were scoring 25 points. They're scoring 6.9 points per game.
Bears need to trade for Trey Hendrickson right now.
Right now.
I don't think one guy would help them. I'm going to be very honest.
But it's crazy because if he is encouraged about like Tim Jenkins, like I respect the hell out of that guy. For him to come on here and say what he is saying about the Bears offense and how he's sort of wide-eyed about it, Tim Jenkins, like that is not nothing.
Well, and I think he's right. Like, based on your film you're watching, yeah, you think Ben Johnson will steal you a game or two.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Which is so great to know.
But to say they would be in the top three is bold. Because you know one of the teams in the division is in it. So
That's why I said top three, to give a little bit of room. I'll say this. Detroit's number two. Colts are number one. Bills are number three.
Where's
Cowboys
Tampa
are number four. Tampa's way down the list in scoring offense. They're
yards per game though.
Oh, yards per game. Tampa is way down the list. They're middle of the pack.
Surprising.
I can't even count that far down. It's probably like 14th.
Colts are up there yards per game scoring.
They are number two.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the Colts average 383 yards per game. The Bears average 378 yards per game. It's not like they're leaps and bounds ahead.
We can predict that, and I get it. It's just how much of it is backing up the opinion of what you try to
arrow up. I'm just saying they're getting better. That's undeniable that they are getting better.
Yeah.
We have more to come here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Let's talk about the NFL trades that have happened so far. Big one just breaking with our interview with Tim Jenkins. And also how we've been through this before as sports fans, but maybe not quite like this. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheem Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You can never have too many pass rushers. You can never have too many cover players in the back end either. So that's how I've always felt since I've been in this league. I know Ryan and his crew, they've been doing their due diligence all throughout the fall, you know, all the way up until tomorrow to make sure that we're turning over every stone to make sure that if there's a way we can improve this roster, we'll do that. But I feel good about the guys we have on the roster currently.
That's Ben Johnson from yesterday. This is Raheem Harris-Grody on 670 The Score. And Adam Schefter reported earlier today the Browns sending defensive end Joe Tryon-Shoyanka and a 7th-round pick to the Bears in exchange for a 6th-round pick, per sources. Dio Odengbo, of course, lost yesterday to a season-ending Achilles injury. Ben Johnson told us that information and indicated that they would be looking to get help on their defensive line. So that has been the moves that they were able to make so far. The Bears, we've still got about an hour and a half until that trade deadline hits. Some of the bigger ones today, by the way, include the Jets dealing maybe their entire defense. Quinnen Williams reportedly going to the Cowboys, and Sauce Gardner going to the Colts. So the Jets making big-time moves and big-time sell mode, and the rest of the NFL just waiting to see what they can do. Bears get a little bit of help. And then there have been other trades like Saints receiver Rashid Shaheed going to the Seahawks. Has it been as active of an NFL trade deadline day as you would have expected?
This seems about right. I mean, we still have an hour and a half to go, but this seems about right. Guys have been on the move from teams that obviously are not in it. And guys who want to say we are a Super Bowl contender, a la Colts, have said, let's go get them.
Seahawks, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think as usual with the NFL trade deadline in particular, it's a hell of a lot more talk than there is actual action. So we're probably winding. Now, like, those are considerable moves, but the quantity is never as big as, say, baseball or the NBA, even.
That being said, The quantity has risen over the last decade.
It has. No, it has.
It used to be like that was
nothing.
Rare.
It was nothing. Right. Right. No, that's for sure. That's for sure. But it feels, just to answer Layla's question, it feels about what I expected. And unfortunately for the Bears or those wanting the Bears to do more or make a splash, there's still time for that to be entered into the fray, but it doesn't look good. And that's what I've been feeling and hearing to some degree, that this would not be the year for the blockbuster moves for the Bears.
And it makes sense when you consider that this is still evaluation time for a lot of people.
Yes.
And the prices would have to be absolutely right. You know, that's the other part. I know we talked a lot about how easy it is to wheel and deal with wide receiver talent. You know, that's something that the league has shown you will happen on a day like this, but that doesn't necessarily mean the Bears think somebody fits or they don't. You get a message today if you find out that somebody didn't, maybe somebody you were surprised about seeing get dealt. I'm never surprised when it's a new head coach, because I know that that's likely the case. But sometimes you're also saying no activity is the best activity because you're still wanting to make all of this fit together in a way that makes it work too. So all of that, I think, is probably going down at Halas Hall right now.
Yeah, and you know, you brought up the money fact. Like, these guys aren't going anywhere. Like, Dio Dangbo is going to be on your team, the 3-year, $48 million deal, the whopper deal for Montez Sweat. He's not going anywhere. So, like, you've got to add that into the whole sustained success part of this. You don't want to put yourself in a bad position now and sabotage what looks promising. Like, just listening to Tim Jenkins and seeing the offense doing, and you brought up a great point during the break too, Marshall, about it, that it, like, things have been happening because these games are so crazy. As you said, there are things that have been happening, numbers that have been piling up for the offense that do need to be taken a look at, if not taken more seriously.
I want to ask you guys the question. If this is it, if the Bears are done for today, do you feel like the city of Chicago, you personally, should be feeling satiated, like you're satisfied with, okay, this is the decision they made and I'm good with it?
I feel like when you take big swings in free agency like the Bears did, and frankly a big swing when they traded for Montez Sweat and then decided to extend him, they made these decisions so long ago, relatively speaking to today. They picked up Dio Odengbo in the offseason. They decided to do the same with Grady Jarrett. You know, and one, I think, I don't know how much they thought they could change him or get him from point A to B in Odengbo. And another one paid, I think, on what he meant to the team and his past production and performance in Grady Jarrett. You add to that then Montez Sweat's contract, and I feel like today is not a discussion. It's what's happened previously that we've already discussed when it comes to, like, the defensive line need. The biggest indictment I have is that we're still talking about needing defensive line help after those contracts that I just mentioned.
And look, I mean, with the time left here before the trade deadline, as Layla's indicating, like in 2022, like, Poles makes moves at the trade deadline. I mean, Quinn and Roquan in 2022, that's a Chase Claypool year as well. Sweaty in 2023, last year. This deal now becomes relevant because they traded Khalil Herbert to Cincinnati, right? For a 7th-round pick, which
it was,
you could
the pick
say,
that became common
Manon guy. So it's not like there isn't a precedent for Ryan Poles making things happen, but I'm okay. Like, and maybe because I've known or felt like this would not be the time for, I've prepared myself. There's going to be some angry Bears fans, I'm sure, that they're not making a move, but I feel like there's a calm about it
right now. I think it's just right.
Yeah.
Because they are a 5-3 team. They're in the mix. They went out and got a little bit of a depth piece. They may still be able to get something off the scrap heap as far as getting guys to come in and work out who don't have a team, if that's the route that they need to go. But as far as the most important thing to start this season is still the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's Caleb Williams' development. And I'm happy and pleased at where it is 8 games into a 17-game season.
Well, and say, for example, they don't trade a guy like DJ Moore, who people thought might be up for a trade. Say they don't trade Cole Kmet because people wanted to know how they were going to use both Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet. Then that lets you know that they are not as, they're not saying that those pieces don't fit in their offense. Like, that's a big message to me, is their inactivity may indicate that that's something they don't want to do because they like them on this team. And that's a big part of it.
I just... to the Caleb point in the conversation that we're having about the trade deadline here on Raheem Harrison Grody, I like where he is because he does have the depth pieces so that when people, it's football, people get hurt. Cole Kmet, hurt. Colson Loveland has been hurt. Luther Burden III, out right now, hurt. When people get hurt, you still have the pieces for Ben Johnson to do whatever he wants. And when he has his full complement, then he can get crazy and do whatever he wants with a bullet. And yeah. I think that's what we've seen so far against what is below average talent as far as the opposing teams. The teams have not been good.
And hey, God forbid it doesn't work out with Caleb Williams here. At least you know you've got one of those head coaches who probably can make average better. You know what I'm saying? And he should. And maybe I'm answering one quick. He should be able to do that with Caleb Williams, too. Like, if he is as good as we think he is, and as good as Tim Jenkins indicated he is, he definitely can make Caleb into something beyond what he did with Jared Goff.
And if not Caleb, then the average guy, Tyson Bagent.
The average guy.
I always want to remind people, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl. Like,
yeah.
Jared Goff took his team to the Super Bowl.
They were chanting his name.
Lost to Tom Brady. Like, it's a different discussion from that part of it.
Isn't that what they do, Robbie? They chant his name, right? Jared Goff. That's like a thing.
And it's not surprising that he was gone. Because the quarterback, the coach there believed he was a genius, and he has been, for most of his career, been thought to be an offensive genius. And when you get to the Super Bowl and you can't get to double digits in points, I got to go get a different quarterback.
That's the biggest
thing.
But
that was probably the last great game of Bill Belichick, too. That's one of those rare setups where the trade worked out with massive individuals involved, big huge names, and then it worked out for both parties. Like that, and I frankly think that is partially why the trade deadline day is more active today, is because of trades like that working out for everybody.
Yeah, and the fact that Bill Belichick doesn't exist anymore, and I know Andy Reid has kind of taken that spot as like the guy you can't get through in the AFC, but it goes to show, people see, oh, the Chiefs are down. Let me go get my guys, Indianapolis. Let me go get my guys so I can make a run at this thing. The AFC is as wide open as it's been in a while.
Hey, you know what year the Rams went to that Super Bowl that I just mentioned?
It was either 2019.
It was January of 2019.
Or no. Was it? I can't remember. Is it either 2019 or 2020?
It was Jan 2019.
Oh, that's when it was? Okay.
Do you know what else happened in January of 2019?
No, what happened?
The end of the 2018 season for the Bears.
Oh, wow.
Man. That's why I always laugh at the whole, the Bears had just had the double doink, they would have made it to the Super Bowl. That Saints team was unstoppable. It took a non-PI call for the Rams to advance. Yeah. Don't forget that.
Oh, I forgot about that call.
Yep.
And they changed the rule because of that.
Yeah, they did.
And then they failed at it, yeah.
For a year. Like, was it just a year?
Yes, it was just 1 year.
Reviewable pass interference,
that
right?
Was a mess.
That was wild to think that they were doing that.
That was a non-PI call, and you can't convince me that it wasn't in the NFL's best interests
to have
a team from LA in the Super Bowl that year.
A lot of people thought that Bill Belichick was a genius before then, but that's when I deemed Bill Belichick to be a genius. After that Super Bowl, I was like, he made the Super Bowl the most boring football game I've watched in a long, long time. That game was not
of a good coach. 314, are the Bears hunting today for defensive backfield help today? I don't know why they wouldn't, but yeah. I think so much of the NFL is. You know, that's the other part of this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, another reason why I won't have a big problem with the Bears if they don't do anything big and giving away draft picks, assets, all that kind of stuff. And I know they obviously did with the one move that they have made so far to get Shoyinka in here to rush the pass. I want to see Ben Johnson from the very beginning being a part of the draft process next year and what adjustments he thinks need to be made after he gets a long look at it, as opposed to doing it abruptly right now at the trade deadline. Like, I just think that's it, because I don't think that this year there's any way that Ben Johnson could have been prepared enough to have had heavy influence on the draft. I'm not saying that
you
he
really
didn't.
Think so?
Well,
no,
I'm not saying
I
that
don't.
He, I'm not saying he didn't have influence, but it's kind of unrealistic to think, considering when he was hired, considering what he was doing for a living with Detroit, that somehow he has this scouting eye or decision-making process on college players.
By the way, Stacey Dales, you know, she's part of the NFL Germany game.
Dales.
She said an hour ago on Twitter, our trip to Germany just got real saucy. Stacey's punny like that. But she said, I was told on Sunday to expect a big move.
What?
Look at that.
Okay, good job there.
Man, Stacey's a heck of a reporter.
Stacey Dales. Saw one of her producers out and about the other night, Bobby V. Shout out to Bobby V. Love that, man.
Bobby V.
Yeah.
Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score, Charles Barkley speaks. And I'm kind of happy that we still get to say that in this vein and have some fun with it. So let's do it now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Next.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Would you like some more breaking news? Breaking News on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Number one, I'm sorry to tell you this, Mark Grody. The man you know is Kitty. Is on the move.
What?
Meow. Yep. Just like that.
We're trading Dave the
Jesse,
cat?
Jesse Rogers reports that the Cubs have traded Andrew Kittredge back to the Orioles for cash considerations.
Wow.
Per both teams. Let me get this straight. That really was a rental.
Yeah.
Cash considerations?
Go on back now. Go on home. Go on back. You were going back to Baltimore, Kitty. Thank you, Kitty.
What?
Meow.
Yeah.
That's... Is there any more obvious rental than that?
Go on now. Go on now.
I liked Andrew Kittredge.
I did too.
He literally closed playoff games for us, and he is gone.
Here's why
to Baltimore.
That's the way it works.
Can everybody, I lay out why it makes sense, though?
Everybody loads up
cash
around
considerations,
trade deadline.
Cash rules everything
Go
around
on,
us.
Kitty.
Not just cash considerations. All right, remember this. The man made $9 million in 2025. Okay?
Kitty.
He has a $9 million team option for next season. Featuring a $1 million buyout. As long as they're paying less than $1 million in this cash considerations, they're saving money. And the $9 million that they were going to have to pay him in 2026 now can be allocated towards, I don't know, a frontline starter. Or maybe that money to pay another bat.
Remember Ryan Pressly?
Yes.
That's all.
Well, yeah, yes. And I think
I'm bummed that didn't work out.
The one thing that we did learn about the Cubs... And their Kitty. Manager specifically is they can do the rehab thing.
Meow.
They can patch things together over the course of 162 games. And I bet they feel like they need to in order to not pay exorbitant relief fees.
They better be freeing up this money for something. Something.
Yeah, the waves are beginning to.
Not just a little war chest, if you will, or a rainy day fund. Also, you know what perks my ears? This per Diana Russini. The Jets' asking price for Breece Hall is a third-round pick. The crater of the draft, you say, for the Bears? And I get Breece Hall?
No, Layla, no. You need your third-round pick.
To do what? What are they going to do with it? Do you know what they do with those?
To
scary
draft an
things.
Edge. To draft an edge. Listen, they've got to become a better drafting team if they want to sustain anything that Ben Johnson is building right now.
That's why I want to see Ben Johnson with a full complement of draft picks. Let's see what he can do with that.
Not the third.
No.
No, they did the right thing trading out of that third round.
Yeah,
crater.
Did they? What have they gotten out of their second round picks this year?
Yeah, I worry that that's just backing up into higher rounds.
It's a pillow.
But you had to start somewhere. Hey, he reported as an eligible receiver quite a few times on Sunday.
Who,
and frankly, I frankly think that there were some clever personnel packages that they used him in to block extra, and I think that's why the Bears were so successful on the ground. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
He played 10 snaps.
Do we have time to talk about the Chuck thing? What do you want to say, Gross?
Oh, I was just going to say, do you guys think that the Cubs think that, you know, Porter Hodge is going to be it so they can just let these guys, like, kitty?
He's been part of it.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be one of the its. I think there's going to be several its. And then Craig Kimbrell's, or
Palencia ain't going anywhere.
Craig Council's right? going to go out there and find some other guys he can rehab.
No, the brain reloads. Now that basketball season is here, my brain is not loading right. It's loading all the basketball names.
Oh, you're learning the hoops?
No, it's just like my brain, places. Like, it'll like switch floppy disks. Wait, and be before, like, load basketball.
Bulls,
let's
Phillies
get to the
tonight.
Basketball, though, since we're talking 76ers. About basketball. Let's get to, yeah. let's get to the Chuck.
I was going
to
say Philly.
You're still on baseball brain.
Can we get to Chuck Barkley?
Yeah,
yes,
I would
yes,
like
yes,
to.
Yes, yes. Enough of this nonsense.
The Manning cast was on last night, and so was Charles Barkley.
I was doing research for tonight, and Chuck, is it true that you burned all of your underwear almost 20 years ago and haven't worn any since?
Yeah, I realized that underwear were not a necessity. So I had it was a big fire too, Peyton. So I'm always going Comanche. is it Comanche?
I burned
all my underwear about 30 years ago. Like I said, it was a big fire. So I'm always going commando for the rest of my life.
All right, here's the burning of the underwear.
that was the fire size right there. It was a big one.
Go ahead, E.
And Chuck, I actually got you a gift to commemorate you being on our first ever Manning cast. I was planning to mail it to you, and I'm sorry. I didn't know the story about you not wearing underwear before having these made. But can I still send these to you?
You could definitely. You know what? I will put that on my wall somewhere.
What size are these, though? You've lost some weight. I don't know if these are going to fit you anymore.
Well, they won't fit me, but no, I've lost some weight. Shout out to Ro.co. All you fat people, go get some Zepbound. Please. If you're struggling with your weight, get some Zepbound, everybody out there.
Is that one of those shots, the Zepbound? That's one of those things. Yeah.
That's the reason he burned his underwear? Necessity?
Did you see the size of those draws?
I did not see those draws.
They were...
That's the Montez Sweat draws?
No, do that to Tez.
They
no.
were large.
Don't insult that man like that.
But he said that
he held them up. He
time.
Held them up like he was holding up like a small television. The underwear. That's what
you
it looked
have,
like.
How your big draws on.
That's it. See? Them big draws.
That's a very clever euphemism for what he was trying to say.
Also, in that Barkley clip, this is how he was trying. He was trying to find the word commando, and this is what he said.
Is it Comanche?
Comanche.
Do you know
you
what
want
I
to get
thought
scalped?
Of? Apache by the Sugar Hill Gang. I was like, oh, you went boom, boom, boom.
Is it Comanche?
Comanche.
Is it Comanche? By the way, did you see what Breece Hall said?
He said, Layla, I think your idea is really good. I too can't think the Bears draft well in the third round. What?
So this is what Jordan Schultz reported. Breece Hall wants to be traded, I'm told, a little over 1 hour until the deadline, but Breece, quote, wants to be out.
Wants out. Unlock me.
Basically, I mean, if you were on the Jets, would you not want out?
Who's left on the Jets?
Yeah, who's left?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, right. And Woody? Some weeks he's not there.
Woody and Justin.
Is he in his closet after
this
week?
Don't do that. He had... Justin's
just... That's not cool.
Whoa, yeah, you Mark... guys are totally projecting on me. I just asked, is he in his closet?
Why'd you ask if he's in his closet, though?
Because
why did you think that would be the place he would be?
Because he gets emotional in there.
You just want trouble. I get it.
I don't want any trouble, man.
I want the Bears to know that they're not good at drafting in the third round and use that pick for Breece Hall.
All I know is Justin Fields, last time he was on the field, scored 39 points. He led a 39-point offense.
2022 was awesome. Like, that was fun to watch.
2022 was awesome?
That was the Justin Fields year where he had all the big runs, right? Am I off on a year on
I
that?
I think you...
Am I off
There's
on
one
that?
Truth I know. It's that the Bears have their best chance of developing a quarterback in his second season because they did not have the infrastructure to do that with anybody worth anything.
Well, and that's
for the past
3 and 5 years. In 2022.
Yeah, no, I know, but that was the Justin Fields year, right? I know. They lost 10 in a row. But am I wrong?
I thought
Anybody?
It was the next year where he had all the stuff. Yeah.
I think it was 23.
That he had the running. I'm just saying all the runs. I mean, that was awesome. Like, it was not sustainable. See, I that's why I'm hurt by sustainability. It wasn't sustainable, but it was spectacular what he did.
Where do you see the earth?
Like, oh, man. I mean, it was Devin Hester, like, special.
I think it's his birthday today.
2022? Do I get to look
it up? In 2022, he led the league in sacks with 55.
He broke Michael Vick's record, I believe, in 23.
And in 22, he did rush for 1,143 yards.
Okay. He broke, like, the back-to-back rushing yard
record
with Michael Vick.
It was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it was. Like, the season sucked.
I like to watch wins.
Justin Fields was fun to watch. It just was. It was. But it didn't matter. None of it mattered. You're right about that.
And nothing else matters.
And nothing else matters.
You got it. Yeah. You got one.
Breaking your pillow down.
We were doing so well.
I know.
Ripping your pillow down.
This would be a dangerous day to get information wrong, like song lyrics.
Why?
Because it's trade deadline day.
Dead.
Next thing you know, somebody's going to a team they weren't supposed to go to. Oof.
Could happen.
Coming up next, it's time for our transition with Spiegel and Holmes. That's next on Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.